Chapter 9, Get the Right Fit. When you discover your kid is cutting, I cannot overstate the importance of these two things. 1, get your kid's ass in therapy right now. That means like yesterday, you dig? This cutting behavior has gone on a while, regardless of what your kid has told you. And before your kid was actually engaging in self-harm behavior, they were thinking about it for a while before that. Your kid has been struggling for a long time before your discovery of their cutting. Whatever they are distressed about may have been or may still be unknown to them. It's going to take a professional, someone trained in sifting through these layers of emotions, to help your kid navigate their way out of this bloody mess. 2. Get your kid hooked up with a psychologist that has a specialty in teens and young adults and seems real. Yeah, you can search online parents networks and definitely peruse their own website, but make sure you speak to them live, on the phone, Zoom, in person. It doesn't matter, just so it's in real time. Listen for anything that appears somewhat off script and authentic. If they're slightly abrupt, possibly all the better, but I'm biased. So how do you achieve these two important goals? Well, first, you shop. Yep, you are the consumer, so shop around. Make a bunch of appointments with researched clinicians and preferably word-of-mouth referrals. I tell all parents and kids during the first appointment, if you and I don't jive, keep shopping. Hint, some of the best ones don't take insurance, and you often get what you pay for, but not always. There is a sea of mediocrity out there, and it's all expensive. Next, there is no debate on whether the kid is going to therapy. They are going. It's a non-negotiable. Find the leverage. You can take away privileges and or enforce consequences if they continue to fight you. More on how in chapter 10. I've had kids physically dragged to their first meeting with me or lied to that they're going to get ice cream. Real nice setup for our relationship based on trust, right? But I make it work. I once met such a pissed off teen that they were so slumped down in the chair, they were damn near horizontal. I stuck out my hand to shake theirs as an intro. One finger of one hand that gripped the armrest was raised. I shook it. We went across the street to my office and, gracefully as ever, I tripped going up the stairs. I heard a gasp and an immediate, "Are you okay?" in earnest from the kid. The walls were down. True colors were shown. Tough to put them back up after that. I figure better they're there and pissed off than not there at all. They do not get a reward for going, though. Therapy is still a privilege, and bribery is enabling. You are the boss. Next, you can leave it up to your teen or young adult to choose the psychologist, but there is no choice in going to someone. And once they choose, they can't request to go back to the shopping once the hard work begins. Remember, a couple of weeks or months in, if the professional is challenging your kid, they may want to flee to avoid conflict with the clinician. Sometimes kids even have an impulse to quit because of the conflict. Fine, if they're going to quit, at least make them go do it in person. That's usually when the kid and I bust through to something important and they pretty much never think seriously of quitting again. Next, they are then in charge of and responsible for scheduling if aged 14 and over, in my opinion, because their therapy is their responsibility. Next, if they skip, they pay the no-show fee and call the clinician themselves to apologize and reschedule. They can work it off at home with cleaning, filing, yard work, whatever you need done. More in chapter 10. Next, other than skipping and working off the fee, do not talk to your kid about how much therapy costs. This goes with my earlier point of no guilt tripping. Since your kid is cutting themselves, believe me, they already think they are unworthy of the cost of therapy. Please, please do not burden them with the concept of adult financial responsibilities. They cannot handle it. They already feel guilty and anxious and think they're a burden to you. Next, although it's perfectly natural to feel some amount of jealousy toward your kid's relationship with their clinician, since they may be telling me things you wish they'd tell you, do not act out those feelings. Parents implore me to work with their kids to help them stop cutting, only to let jealousy creep in a month or two later with a not-so-subtle competitive comment to their kid. Do not be that parent. I don't give a shit what you think of me personally, but if your kid is in a therapeutic relationship with me and chest deep in the scary emotional work, they depend on me for their emotional guidance and health. One petty comment can cause an inner conflict for your kid where they feel torn and guilty and anxious about trusting me, like it's some kind of betrayal of you. That can be so destructive that if you fully understood it, you would never even dream of doing that to your adult child. Stick with the plan and model dignified and brave behavior while your kid heals. While the clinician does the psychological work with your kid, you can empower yourself and get the whole family unified in positive and healthy action with a well-thought-out plan. I'll teach you how in Chapter 10.